Welcome to the Midday for a Monday. I'm Norman Gilliland. It's a melodrama, it's a comedy, it's a sitcom, and it's also one of the most performed operas of all time, still very much performed today. It's The Elixir of Love by Gaetano Donizetti from 1812, and the Florentine Opera in Milwaukee is going to be performing it Friday night at 7:30 and Sunday afternoon at 2:30 in Eline Hall in Milwaukee. And it's a fascinating thing to look at how the confusion between a true elixir of love and a bottle of cheap wine can set a whole plot in motion for a great opera, and somebody can tell us about it. If anybody could, it would be William Florescu, the general director of the Florentine Opera. Welcome.
Glad to be back. Thanks, Norman.
It has been a while, hasn't it? And, well, of course, there's no reason to ask why this opera, because it's one of the greats. It's entertaining. And it's great music.
It is, but it's interesting. We have not done it since the 1973-74 season, which is sort of hard to believe. So it's had a little bit of a vacation, but you know, it really became more popular during the 70s and 80s because Luciano Pavarotti sort of championed the role of Nemorino, so it became it got a real boost. So it's it was about time we brought it back.
Well, one of the notable things about this opera is it's so easy to follow. There are only, what, five characters, really?
There are five, and really one is a supporting role. So there's really four leads. There's no villains. Nobody dies.
No disguises.
No disguises. No, it's really, matter of fact, our lighting designer was telling me, he said, I just got done doing Tosca where everybody dies. He goes, it's great now to work on an opera where nobody dies.
Right. Nobody even really takes any terribly hard knocks.
Right.
They take these things in stride. It is a comedy, after all.
Yeah.
And it's a romantic comedy?
Yeah, it is. But the one way in that it's very progressive is that the heroine, Adina, and again, this opera premiered in the early 19th century, I think 1832, she's an independent single woman who owns a ranch in our production, which is set in Napa Valley.
Oh, yeah. Napa Valley setting.
Yeah, in 1930s. But even then, it's a progressive thing to think of the woman heroine. Mm-hmm. And she's not, it doesn't say that she's a widow, it doesn't say she's divorced, but she's an independent land-owning woman. So it's a very progressive piece in that regard, which I think is really interesting.
And she's the object of the affections of this, in the Italian version, he is a peasant, but is, what is he, like a
working ranch hand,
just basically, a working ranch
on the vineyard,
Right. Nemorino. Doesn't stand a chance because she's so much more elevated in style and class and substance and so on.
So the way we've done it is that she really likes him. She's just trying to make him have a little starch in his collar and sort of standing up for himself. And so she uses Belcore, the sergeant, as sort of the way to kick him in the seat to get him motivated to go after her. So it's a lot of fun.
I think that actually makes sense from the standpoint of character development and the way things come out and all that. There has to be a little something there in the first place.
It does. And if you don't do it that way, then you don't really like Adina. And so when they get together in the second act, you're going, well, why is he?
Yeah, why doesn't he get somebody better?
Exactly. So we want her to be sympathetic. So.
Well, here's some of what it's all about. This is from a 1979 La Scala performance with Pavarotti, and who is
Mirella Ferrini?
Of course, Mirella Ferrini.
From the same hometown.
And this is the prelude or overture and opening chorus from that version of The Elixir of Love. Well, you get just a taste of how the whole thing begins in The Elixir of Love, that opera by Donizetti. That was a version that we'll be hearing a bit more from a little later that will feature Pavarotti and Mirella Ferrini. And the Florentine Opera in Milwaukee is putting on an interesting version of this. I say interesting in terms of the setting, but it's always a fun thing to do with operas. Some of them it works really well. I think this is one where it would.
Yeah, you know, when I was a student, I sang in a nationally televised production that was set in the Wild West, and it's had lots of different versions. And what's great about it, because of the characters and sort of, as you mentioned, the simplicity of the plot, it really translates well to any locale, and you don't really have to change anything. And so we thought visually this would be a lot of fun because the wine country of California is very close to the Basque country setting that it was originally set in. So we thought it would be a lot of fun to do that.
You know, and if Verdi could have elephants on stage, you can have a pickup truck. You're actually going to have a pickup truck driving on the stage.
We have a Dodge pickup truck that we found in Waupaca, Wisconsin, that, you know, Dr. Dukumar sometimes comes on in a carriage or a hot air balloon. We decided in wine country coming in the back of a pickup truck would be a lot of fun.
He's in effect kind of a snake oil salesman.
He is. He's the flim flam man that translates well to any air because flim flam man will be with us always. So you could even set it 25 years in the future and I think it would still work.
And he, of course, is necessary to set this whole plot in motion as an elixir of love. Well, as we know, cheap wine has been known to work that way.
That's right.
But in this case, it's all pretty much in the mind of the characters.
Right.
We have another excerpt from it that actually gives you an idea of the duets involved. And this would be between, of course, the two aspiring lovers or lovers-to-be.
That's a good way to put it.
Which is Nemorino and Adina, and in this case, again, it's Pavarotti and Franny. We'll hear some of their duet from The Elixir of Love. You get just a taste of it there, an appropriate metaphor for an opera set in the Napa Valley, at least by this production that's going to be mounted Friday and Saturday by the Florentine Opera of Milwaukee. So whose idea? Bill, was that as general director? Was that your idea to do it that way?
It was, well, Lisa Schlenker, our scenic designer, and I got together and sort of together we came up with this would be a great place to go with it. And then our costume designer got in on board with it. And it all just sort of evolved naturally. And then the scenic elements became a lot of fun. You know, the idea we talked about with the pickup truck. So it just sort of evolved. It wasn't like a line in the sand type of thing. It evolved, and everybody thought, gosh, that's a great idea. So it was a lot of fun getting to that point.
So what is the standard lead time, let's say, between when you decide on a title and when you actually bring it to fruition?
Well, for something like this where we're not going to be running a production, but we're designing it, you know, you're somewhere in the 2 year to 1.5 year point because you have to bring the designers on early on to get that done. So, it, you know, lead times have shortened in the opera world because the economy has been such a shifting thing. So, but, you know, the closer you can get to 2 years out gives you enough time to really develop it in the way that you want it to. Certainly, I chose the piece within that time frame.
So you're actually planning several of these at once. They're in various stages of production.
Exactly, yeah. It's always an interesting juggling match, for sure.
I can see where it could possibly lead to a little confusion at times.
Sometimes wake up and go, what am I working on and where am I?
Yeah, where am I? That's right. Well, this opera, The Elixir of Love, has one aria that's particularly famous and has a kind of a concert life of its own. Certainly Pavarotti enhanced it in that regard. And what's the context for Una Furtiva Lagrima?
Well, basically, there's a scene where Nemorino sees a tear run down Adina's cheek when she thinks she might have lost him. And the Una Furtiva Lagrima, one furtive tear, refers to the fact that he's seen her cry lets him know that she really, truly loves him. And it's a really poignant moment in the show. It's happy, even though it sort of sounds minor, but it's a happy moment for him when he realizes she loves him.
Oh!
certainly loved it at La Scala. Of course, it was the great Luciano Pavarotti singing Una Furtiva Lagrima, one of the great operatic arias from Le Lisser d'Amore by Donizetti, that 1832 classic many times over, being performed this weekend in Milwaukee by Florentine Opera. Now, you've said it in the Napa Valley, which is actually makes perfect sense, as you've said, Bill. And what does that do for the costuming, though? Does that keep things a little on the simple side?
Well, it does. I mean, the military costume is sort of World War II era military uniforms for Sergeant Belcourt and his soldiers. A peasant costume, frankly, doesn't change that much from the 1830s to the 1930s, you know, a dusty hat.
Italy, California.
But Adina is dressed much more, I think, young Kate Hepburn. And that
kind of look,
slack suits and things like that. Again, because she's a wealthy landowner, so it's a little more progressive in that regard. But Dr. Dulcamara is dressed in a very loud plaid suit, looks like something out of the Cotton Club and things like that. So it's
how many sets would you have for a production like that?
It's really two. That's the other thing when we talk about simplicity. There's the first act, which is Adina's house, and then the second act. The only thing that really changes is a wedding table set up when you have the supposed wedding between Adina and Belcore. So in that regard, the set and then the pickup truck really makes it a user-friendly opera, which we hope people will rent this production at when we get done with it.
So how do I put this? What kind of prop wines are going to be sneaked onto stage?
Well, on stage, it will only be water. But as an adjunct, the Florentines actually produced, as a fundraising thing, we actually produced our own wine in conjunction with a Napa Valley winery. But that won't make it on stage because that could make the performance, how shall I say this, a little loose.
A little loose.
So we want to keep, and I was in a Traviata once where the chorus had wine, real wine.
Really?
That was given to them by the chorus master. It was supposed to be kept till later, and it wasn't pretty. So we will not do anything like that. Trust me.
You have to be on top of your game.
Exactly. Exactly.
Something as demanding as any opera. Right.
Right.
Well, Bill Florescu, it's been a pleasure having you in this studio. I think it's been your first visit to this one, though. You've had a couple of our others over the last few years.
We always appreciate you having us over here to talk about the opera.
And break lots of legs.
Thank you very much.
Those upcoming performances Friday night and Sunday afternoon, Eline Hall in Milwaukee. Florentine Opera, productions of L'Elixir d'Amore, The Elixir of Love by Donizetti.